Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Centrum Electronics Limited Q3 and 9-month FY26 earnings conference call, hosted by Ashika Institutional Equities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Before we proceed, this conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantee of future performance and involve risk and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Krishna Doshi from Ashika Institutional Equities. Thank you, and over to you, Ms. Doshi.
Thank you. Good morning, and a very warm welcome to everyone. On behalf of Ashika Institutional Equities, I welcome you all to Centrum Electronics Limited Q3 FY26 earnings conference call. Today, we have with us the management, represented by Mr. Nikhil Manavarappu, Joint Managing Director, and Mr. Sundararajan Parthasarathy, Chief Financial Officer. We thank Centrum Electronics for giving us the opportunity to host the call, and we will now like to hand over the floor to the management for their opening remarks, post which we will open the floor for Q&A. Thanks, and over to you, Nikhil, sir.
Thank you, Ms. Doshi, and good morning, everyone. Welcome to our earnings con call to discuss the performance of the third quarter and nine months of financial year 2026. Start with a special thanks to our host today at Ashika Stock Broking. Let me start today's call by summarizing the essence of the call. This quarter clearly represents an important inflection point for Centrum, with few critical announcements, and as a result, allow us a little bit extra time to share our opening remarks, after which we will open the floor for the Q&A. So we've delivered a healthy operating growth in our continuing business during the quarter and have taken decisive steps to realign our global portfolio and strengthen the long-term foundation of the company. I will first brief you on the key performance highlights for the quarter and the period under review, provide an overview of the decisions taken with regard to our overseas subsidiary, after which our CFO, Mr. Sundararajan Parthasarathy, will take you through the financial highlights. So starting with the core business, our standalone operations continued to demonstrate strong momentum during the quarter, driven by robust execution in our high-margin build-to-spec segment. Growth was led by strong execution in our domestic defense and space programs, particularly across radar systems, space-based electronic warfare, and tank electronics programs. We continue to see a healthy demand visibility in these segments, supported by our differentiated capabilities and long-standing customer relationships. A key milestone during the quarter was forging a strategic partnership with GRSE for the air navigation program. This marks our entry into mission-critical air navigation systems and aligns strongly with our strategy of moving up the value chain towards integrated systems and platform-level solutions. I am happy to share that we have already received the first order under this program, and we expect more orders in the coming quarters as we build traction. Further, we were declared L1 bidder for the development and production of a complete radar system for a major airborne platform of a defense PSU. This is a significant validation of our capability in complex radar systems and strengthens our position in high-value defense programs. On the capacity expansion front, we also completed the groundbreaking at KIADB Aerospace Park in Bengaluru, where we will be setting up a dedicated facility for systems integration and capability enhancements in critical technology areas. On the EMS front, we also saw strong execution with the ramp-up of deliveries to a new semiconductor equipment customer. We also secured new orders from this customer during the quarter, and with the favorable policy announcement under the India Semiconductor Mission 2.0, we believe we are well positioned to benefit from the growth in the semiconductor CapEx cycle globally. We also secured new business awards in the energy and industrial segment from an existing customer, a leading global OEM for new grid automation and power distribution product lines. These initiatives further diversify our revenue base and strengthen our industrial electronics portfolio. Our order book has also strengthened further during the period, providing healthy revenue visibility into the coming quarters. And based on the current pipeline and customer traction, we expect good momentum with order intake in Q4 as well. Now, let me address the overseas subsidiaries candidly. Over the past several quarters, we have been transparent about the challenges in our Canada and France operations and our intent to address them in a time-bound manner. In line with this commitment, we have now discontinued operations in our Canada-based subsidiaries and initiated closure-related actions in accordance with applicable regulations. This effectively stops further operational losses from these entities. In the European subsidiary, over the past few years, we have also made sustained and serious efforts to bring a turnaround. These included leadership changes, strategic repositioning, operational restructuring, cost optimization initiatives, and capital infusion from the parent company. We committed management bandwidth and financial resources to restore stability and growth. However, despite these efforts, the prolonged weak macro environment in Europe, subdued demand in the R&D services market, increased competitive intensity impacting margins, and balance sheet constraints at the subsidiary level have not enabled a sustainable turnaround. After careful evaluation, we determined that reallocating capital and leadership attention towards our core growth segments would generate stronger long-term returns for shareholders. Accordingly, the board has approved initiating actions with respect to our French subsidiaries to assess options including divestment, sale or transfer of business, or judicial reorganization as permitted under the relevant laws. To summarize, we have discontinued operations in Canada and initiated restructuring actions in France. In line with these decisions, certain one-time exceptional items have been recognized in the quarter to appropriately reflect their financial impact. Based on our present assessment, we do not expect any further material financial impact beyond what has already been recognized. Overall, with the overseas restructuring actions now substantially addressed, our strategic focus remains on strengthening the company's capital allocation discipline, allowing us to fully concentrate on profitably scaling our rapidly growing core ESDM platform. With that, I would like to hand over the call to our CFO, Mr. Sundar Rajan, to brief you on the financials.
Thank you, Mr. Nikhil, and good morning, everyone. Let me now brief you on the financial highlights for the third quarter and 9 months of the financial year ending 2026 March. At the standalone level, revenue from operations for Q3 FY26 stood at rupees 238 crores, reflecting a very strong growth at 27% year-on-year. And the EBITDA for the quarter stood at rupees 26 crores, higher by 27% year-on-year. And the profit before exceptional tax and exceptional items and tax for the quarter stood at 19 crores, registering a growth of 77% year-on-year. For the 9-month period, the standalone revenue stood at INR 630 crores, registering a growth of 25% year-on-year, and the EBITDA registered a growth of 50% to INR 76 crores, translating to a margin of 12.1%, representing about 200 basis points over the corresponding period last year. Profit before exceptional items and tax for the 9-month period stood at INR 58 crores, reflecting a growth of 128% year-on-year. This clearly reflects improved scale, better program mix, and operating leverage in India's ESDM business. Now, coming to the consolidated performance, revenue from operations for Q3 FY26 stood at rupees 331 crores, registering a growth of 21% year-on-year, and the EBITDA for the quarter stood at rupees 31 crores with a margin of 9.5%. The profit before exceptional items and tax expense from continuing operations was at 18 crores rupees, which is up by 53% year-on-year. For the nine-month period, the consolidated revenue stood at INR 873 crores, up 15% year-on-year. The EBITDA for the nine months stood at rupees 78 crores, translating to a margin of 8.9%. Profit before exceptional items and tax expense from continuing operations was at INR 45 crores, which is up by 155% year-on-year. To reiterate, we delivered strong results this quarter and are well on the path to delivering a stronger quarter to end the year, largely backed by the standalone performance. The financial results for the quarter and nine-month period reflect the impact of exceptional items and one-time impacts to give effect to the developments relating to the overseas subsidiaries, as discussed by Mr. Nikhil earlier. Now, let me explain the accounting treatment relating to these overseas subsidiaries. Following the board approval during December 2025, we have discontinued the Canadian operations that has been specifically classified as discontinued operations in the Q3 financial statements. Accordingly, all the prior period numbers have been restated to reflect the operating results of the continuing operations. The net operating results include loss relating to Canada that has been reflected separately under discontinued operations in the consolidated financials. For the nine-month period, the loss before tax from discontinued operations amounted to rupees 39 crores, and for the quarter three FY26, it was at 29.8 crores, including one-time impact of 24.9 crores. These numbers relate to Canadian subsidiaries again. Now, coming to the exceptional items included in the consolidated financial, the exceptional items for Q3 in consolidated financial statements were at 57 crores, and for the nine-month period, it was 55.6 crores. These relate primarily to impairment of goodwill and intangible assets arising from restructuring options of the French subsidiary. At the standalone level, the impact is more pronounced due to impairment of investments. During the quarter three, the company has fully impaired its investment in subsidiaries amounting to rupees 153.8 crores in standalone books. In addition, exceptional items at standalone books also include provision for receivables relating to supplies made to the Canadian subsidiary. All these actions ensure that the standalone balance sheet now reflects a conservative and realistic valuation of the overseas exposures. To summarize clearly, number one, Canadian operations have been classified as discontinued. The numbers have been recast accordingly. Standalone exceptional items largely relate to the impairment of investments in subsidiaries and provisions against receivables connected to Canada. Lastly, the consolidated exceptional items that is in the consolidated financial statements primarily reflect goodwill and assets impairments relating to the French subsidiary. However, it's important to emphasize that these exceptional items are largely one-time in nature and predominantly non-cash accounting adjustments. With these provisions now substantially recognized, we believe the balance sheet appropriately reflects the current structure, and the future performance will more clearly represent the strength of our continuing India ESDM operations. I can now confidently say that the underlying business momentum remains positive, margins are improving, and the capital structure is now cleaner and more aligned with our strategic focus. With this, we can open the floor for Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants, you are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Ankit Babel from Shubhkam Ventures. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir, and congrats for good standalone numbers. So my first question is that why there has been an adjustment of last year Q3 numbers on a standalone basis? Because whatever restructuring which has happened is all in subsidiaries. So why the standalone numbers have been adjusted, restated?
Sorry, Ankit, I didn't get your question. Standalone numbers have not been restated relating to these two subsidiaries for prior years. It's only the consolidated financial segment, if you read the notes also.
So, you know, because if I see your standalone numbers for last year, so your as of now, your profit is coming at around, at PBT level, it's 107 million, right? But when you had, you know, declared the results of last year, it was coming somewhere, one second. Yeah, it was coming at 91 million. So there is a difference. And in the notes also, you have mentioned about this note number 8, where you have presented the restated numbers. In your
standalone, sorry to interrupt, Ankit, there was an amalgamation last quarter we announced about the TNS India Private Limited. There was one entity. That's the only restatement in the standalone financials. But again, I can provide the reconciliation offline if you want.
Okay. So, second question is, what is the value of the radar order which you have, where you are L1 from a defense PSU?
Ankit, we will disclose that at the time that we receive it, but
no problem.
So we expect that to hopefully happen in Q4. So
okay. And my last question is now on, as you had mentioned in the press release that you guys are looking for even divestment of the French subsidiary. But since you have already taken the write-off of full investment value, so do you expect any realization happening? And you know, if you succeed in selling or divesting your friend subsidiary?
Yeah, thanks for the question, Ankit. I think based on our assessment today, we don't expect to realize anything, you know, meaningful from this divestment. We've taken certain actions already over the last couple of months to assess this, while we continue to look for options, I think based on the current external environment in France and Europe, you know, general M&A activity also has slowed down, you know, in anticipation of you know, better you know, future, and as a result, we don't expect to realize much from this process. So, and that's why, to be prudent, also we have taken full impairment of the carrying value of the asset.
Okay, so any timeline wherein you expect to close it, the divestment?
So, Ankit, as mentioned, this will there is a judicial reorganization process also that may kick in, which typically has about 4 to 6 months of observation period, and within that, they'll have to find suitable bidders, and the process will take its own time. So, I think by next quarter, that is Q4 financials reporting time frame, we expect some more clarity. And as soon as we get to know any further details, we'll definitely be updating the investors.
Why I was asking this question is, till the time you don't divest, so whatever loss of profit comes in those subsidiaries will be borne by Centrum, right? Will be part of Centrum.
That's correct. So that's why during the quarter, next 6-8 weeks, we will get to know more. And based on the IFRS standards, at the appropriate time, and we need to stop consolidating, we will stop consolidating also when it requires.
Okay, okay. So again, the one confusion here, so as you mentioned that, you know, in case if there are losses, because you have not been able to turn around the company, so in case there are losses, then you had also mentioned that you have already taken the provisions. So if any further losses comes in, would be in over and above the provisions which you have already taken? And I'm talking about the operational losses, because that business is still continuing,
so
it's still running.
You're right. So the operating loss, we cannot accrue ahead of time. So until the time we consolidate the financials of the European subsidiaries, the operating loss will be consolidated. At the same time, like I mentioned, once the process kicks in, we'll get more clarity on the date of, you know, losing control or any subsequent action. Accordingly, we will stop.
So considering the visibility, what do you see?
Ankit, I would request you to please rejoin the queue again for more questions.
Okay, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management should be able to address all the questions from the participants in the question queue, we request you to kindly limit your questions to two per participant. If you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue again. We'll take the next question from the line of Bala Subramaniam from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. So my first question, I think we have been declared as a L1 bidder for complete radar system. So I'm trying to understand what is the approximate order value and execution timeline for this project. And generally, what kind of margin profile for this this kind of comprehensive systems levels compared to traditional BDS business? And secondly, we also got a partnership with GRSE for air navigation program. And what's the total potential value for this program over the next 3 to 5 years? Whether we can able to extend this kind of program to other shipbuilding partners like MDL or GSL or any other navigation mission systems for the Indian Navy.
Thank you for the question.
Yes,
so first, with regard to the radar system order, this is I would say development followed by production order. So what we will receive first is the first phase of the production order, and then subsequently we'll be receiving the production orders. The total value of this program is to the tune of about 700 crores over a, I would say, 5 to 6 year sort of time horizon. The first tranche, of course, as I mentioned, for what we will receive in the short term, we will announce it as and when we receive it. It will be disclosed. The second one, which is the air navigation system. This again, we had already disclosed the order that we have received already is to the tune of about 30 crores from GRSE itself. You are absolutely right. We expect to receive orders from all from several other shipbuilders or shipyards, including GSL and HSL and so on in the coming quarters and years. We estimate that again the total opportunity here is again to the tune of about 500 crores or so, again in a 3 to 5 year kind of time horizon. So of order booking.
Sir, if you could elaborate on the margin side for these programs.
Yes. The margins for these programs, obviously, I would categorize it just generally to say that you know, in this business, we expect to be at 20 to 25% EBITDA margin, and so these are more or less in line with that profile.
Okay, sir. Sir, my second question on that space-based server lanes program. I think the addressable opportunity size is nearly 1,000 crore. And how much we can expect next 1 or 2 years, sir? And secondly, if you could elaborate more on Indian Semiconductor Mission 2.0, which like it's one of the major tailwind for the EMS business. And I'm trying to understand what kind of specific opportunities we have. And we are looking specifically for, especially on supply chain for assembly testing, marking and packaging side, or we are focusing on design and prototyping side.
Oh yeah, so great, thanks. So the first one with regard to the SBS program, it is substantial. We are starting to see some orders coming in. We expect to book some of this in Q4. Some of them have we've been declared L1, and again we expect to start receiving those orders in Q4 or Q1 of the following year. As I said, total opportunity size is there in the range of about 1,000 crores, we as things progress over the next few quarters, we will be having a clearer idea of how much of that we are able to book. But things are moving in a very positive way, and we expect the orders to start coming in, as I mentioned, or have already started to come in Q4 and subsequent quarters. The next point with regard to India Semiconductor Mission 2.0, this is a new policy announcement that we saw in the budget. The details are still yet to be fully clarified on this front, but we understand that in this instance there are a lot of there is a major impetus and push to involve the broader ecosystem of semiconductors, including the capital equipment used in semiconductor fabs. And in that respect, as I was mentioning earlier, one of our major new customers that we've added in the last year and ramped up in Q3, in fact, is a major player. They're one of the top global capital equipment suppliers to semiconductor fabs, and they have a strong commitment in terms of their procurement in India, and so we expect revenues from this sector to also increase in a very good way over the next 2 to 3 years.
Thank you. We will take the next question from the line of Jatin Jadhav from Sahasrar Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, you are audible.
Yes.
First of all, congratulations. I actually had two questions regarding the airborne platform, the complete radar system. So could you just elaborate what exactly is the kind of radar which we are providing, or the kind of solution which we are providing for the defense PSU?
Sure. It's essentially a radar system for a helicopter platform, and it is intended for a multi-purpose function, including search and tracking. There's for surveillance and a few other modes. I can't disclose too much about the technical details of the program, but suffice to say it's for a major helicopter platform, and as I mentioned, more details will be announced once we receive the order.
Got it. The partnership which we have done with GRSE, what exactly is this air navigation system which we provide? If you could throw some light on it.
Yeah, very simply put, this is a navigation system that that enables aircrafts to land on ships, land or take off from ships. It's like a air traffic controller that you would typically see at an airport. This is a more sophisticated, advanced version of that that is there for specifically for military applications. And we are making the system that is onboard the ships itself. As of today, there's really only one such system that's deployed on the aircraft carrier that we have. But there is a need that many more warships that are already in service or are under construction will require this system. So what we are delivering essentially is for that.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much. I'll get back into the queue.
Thank you. We will take the next question from the line of Rupesh Tatia from Long Equity Partners. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. My first question is, can you just talk about, you know, T-90 tank stabilization system? I think there's a big effort to indigenize those systems. And how many systems are we present? What kind of opportunity that will be? That is question number one. Second question is, recently, I think ISRO one PSLV satellite PSLV launch failed. So maybe you can give some idea about how it will impact us positively, negatively, and any subsequent orders we can expect in this program. So these are the two questions initially. Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't understand exactly the first question. It was something about stabilization system. Could you just repeat?
So T-90 tanks, right? The T-90 tanks.
Yeah.
I think it's a Russian design, and I think India is looking to indigenize those tanks, some of the components. So are we present in that program?
Yes, we have some tank
electronics, right? We have a division in tank electronics.
Yes. We've indigenized several things on tank electronics, which were previously Russian designs or Russian imports. We have been successful in doing several different subsystems on board the tank, and we continue to work on a couple of others, which are in advanced stages of development and so on, including what you just mentioned. So this is an ongoing program, and there are also some potential new opportunities for an upgradation and so on that are in the pipeline. These are for various parts of the tank, including the sighting systems to the fire suppression systems and so on. So that was the first question, and then I think your second question was with regard to the unfortunate event of the failed launch a few weeks ago. This was actually the launch was the main payload for the launch. In fact, was something that was delivered from Centum. So it was quite an unfortunate event, because we were looking forward to establishing a capability that would have been again a first time for India. It was a hyperspectral imaging payload with a high level of resolution and accuracy, which we don't have today. That being said, to your question, there is expected to be a repeat mission, but we are yet to receive any concrete details regarding that as of now. But clearly, the need for such programs and payloads is only increasing to use space-based intelligence is a critical need. And we are we are fairly confident that the demand for such payloads and electronics will only increase as we go forward.
So just one follow-up. For both of these programs, can we expect, let's say, 400-500 crore of orders each over the next, let's say, 3 to 5 years?
Yeah, we are. I mean, I won't, let me not say specifically for the program, but more broadly, if you're talking about the tank electronics upgrades or the space-based payloads, then yes, we do see a fairly healthy pipeline to the tune of what you mentioned in the coming few years.
Okay. Thank you. I'll get back in with you.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. We will take the next question from the line of Mehul Pajiani from 40 Cents. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Sir, if you can highlight, how do we see the budget in terms of the budget spending on defense and aerospace for our company? That is question number one, and I'll ask question number two later.
Yeah, I mean, I think at a high level, several positives I think we can still take away. Clearly, the increase of the defense capex budget has been important and significant, which is in and with the continued thrust and focus on indigenous production or indigenous design and manufacturing, clearly a very positive sign for companies like us who have been in this space for a long time with very strong capabilities and strong relationships. So the budget I think was in line and reflective of the need to modernize our forces, and I think it is a positive direction for Indian companies in this space.
Sir, my second question is about the global market. With the kind of evolving geopolitical scenario, has the prospects for a company, you would say, are we in a better position than last year in terms of the geopolitical market scenario? In terms of the total addressable market?
Yeah, very, very good question. Actually, when with all that's happening in Europe and or in Israel and so on, we have seen on our EMS side of the business an increased order book coming from some of these customers. So we clearly are seeing the increased spending on defense hardware, you know, coming in over there, and we expect this to continue, for the next few years. Also, because there are capacity constraints in some of these geographies, so some of our existing customers itself, we are seeing, more opportunities coming from them, which is for exports, and nothing to do with India. So, positive opportunity. Yeah.
Right. Well, one last question. When do we know about the L1 where we have been classified? By when will we know about the final decision?
We hope in this quarter we should have the order for this.
And sir, can we reveal the PSU, which is where we have bid for?
No, we will release all of that at the time of receiving the order.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We will take the next question from the line of Saumil Jain from Lucky Investments. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity and congrats on a good set of numbers. First, on the BTS side, the sequential execution seems to be slightly on the softer end. Anything that we should read from that? the order book still remains healthy. If you could talk about the execution in this quarter. And secondly, of the BTS order book, how much is the L&T systems unexecuted bit already remaining in our order book?
So on the first part, as you know, in our BTS segments, typically we keep reminding all the investors that it's not supposed to be viewed as a quarter-on-quarter business because it's not a linear thing. It all, the values and the timing depend on the programs that are at various stages, right? So that way, if you look at it sequentially, yes, that could be up and down, but there has been a trend also, as you could see, maybe from Q4 of last year to Q3 of this year. But that doesn't reflect the full year's prospects, if that's the concern. And year-on-year, you can see clearly it's grown very well, and BTS contribution to the standalone also is on the rise. So that way, you can be assured that it's, there is nothing concerning on the front.
Yeah, and maybe I'll just add one point here. Because in fact, as we mentioned in our opening remarks, the good part of the growth has been driven by the BTS part itself. So we have seen growth happening on the BTS side. One thing just to keep in mind is that, if you're trying to compare the order book with the revenues, it's just something to keep in mind that typically order execution cycle on the BTS side of the business would be typically in the range of about 2-2.5 years. So, whereas on the EMS side of the business, it's a lot more shorter, maybe less than 12 months. So that's just something that's important to highlight while viewing the numbers.
Got it. And the portion of L&T systems in our unexecuted order book for the BTS side?
Yeah. Sorry, we don't have exactly the numbers with us right now, but we're making good progress on that. We expect to have a fair amount of billing also happening in Q4. But these are, there's always a mix of orders and we are expecting also pretty healthy inflow of orders in Q4 as well, from various types of even space-based electronics, apart from the other ones that I already mentioned.
Got it. If I can squeeze in a couple more questions. On the EMS side, can you talk a little bit about the ramp-up on the semiconductor equipment? If you can give any quarterly numbers for this quarter, and going ahead, what kind of sort of further ramp-up you see, if any?
We won't disclose specific quarterly numbers, but I'll just say that, this is a customer that we had won, just at the beginning of this financial year. It has been a very rapidly moving business. Typically, the timeline from when you get awarded a business to when you do a prototype and qualification, to actually starting to see a ramp-up of production is something that, takes 2 to 3 years. But in this case, it's been very fast. We've been awarded already, or we were awarded, in fact, already about 65 different part numbers that have all been qualified. And in Q3, there was a major, the serial production deliveries have begun. We expect, as I mentioned earlier, that on this financial year, we expect to do at least $10 million of business, if not more, which was practically zero in the past year. And going forward, we feel we can get to at least $30 million revenue range per year with this customer in the next 2 to 3 years. So, actually, probably even in a two-year kind of timeframe. So, very, very bullish about this segment and our engagement with the customer is moving in a positive way.
Perfect. Okay. And finally...
Sorry to interrupt, Saumil. I will request you to please rejoin the queue again for more questions.
Sure.
Thank you. We will take the next question from the line of Nemish Sundar from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, just two, three questions from my side. So firstly, on the QRSAM order that Bell is expected to receive by Q4 or Q1, so would we be part of that? Like, would we be receiving any orders from Bell for the same, for radars or any subsystems?
Yes, it's a major program, clearly. There are certain active opportunities that we are engaging with Bell on, and we do expect to have some order booking coming from this program specifically. I'm not able to share exactly the numbers now, but we have a few different opportunities and products that we are engaging on this program.
Okay, sir. And for a longer term, like two major projects are currently being talked about, like the AMCA program where consortiums have been shortlisted, and for the 114 Rafales that have now received the AON approval from the MOD. So for these two programs, I know they are longer term, but would we be in any position to say what would be our scope, if any, in these projects?
Yeah, so I mean, with regard to the Rafale program itself, first of all, we are already a supplier to this program through Thales, who is our major customer here. We are one of only two companies, I would say, you know, who are supplying electronics to this platform currently. And what we are supplying is, in fact, something that is, we are integrated into the global supply chain, and it is being delivered and shipped all over the world. And we hope and expect that as these programs evolve in India, that we will work to have a larger work share and partnership with our very strategic customer on this side. On the AMCA, that I would say is still quite an early stage, but here again, we are positioning to work on the various core electronic systems on board the aircraft, whether it's the radar, EW, or the avionics that go on board the program. So those are still at an early stage, and we will be closely monitoring that as it evolves.
So to Thales, are you supplying any electronics or any like design, or how is the agreement there?
Yeah, we supply electronics. So we supply various subsystems, electronic assemblies, and so on to Thales globally.
Okay, sir. And just one last thing on LCA Tejas Mark 1A, so are we involved there? Like, are we supplying any components to them, components or subsystems?
Sorry, can you repeat that?
For LCA Tejas Mark 1A to HAL, are we also involved there, like the 180 numbers order that HAL is currently executing?
On LCA, our presence is fairly small, so we don't have a big presence on board the LCA.
Okay, thank you so much, sir, and all the best.
Thank you. We will take the next question from the line of Ankur Gulati from Genuity Capital. Please go ahead.
So can you give some color on the standalone margins and when can you...
Sorry to interrupt in between, Ankur. You're not audible.
Hi, audible now?
Yes, please proceed.
Yeah, so can you give some color on standalone margins? When can we expect them to steer back to mid-teens?
Yeah, so I think, this is where we mentioned the mix of business, whereas our build-to-spec business is in the range of 20% or more. The EMS side of the business is closer to 10%. We do have some operating leverage that will open up. So you've seen already, as we mentioned, in the nine-month period, EBITDA margins have improved by about 200 basis points at the standalone level. Typically, Q4 for us is a bigger quarter also. So we will maintain or improve our margins in Q4. And going forward into the next years, as we continue to have revenue growth, we will see the operating leverage come in, and we expect a steady improvement of margins also in the coming years.
The last question, is there a seasonality in EMS and build to spec quarter on quarter wise, or is it pretty much well spread out across the quarters?
Yes, we do have clearly, most definitely, especially in our BTS business, there is a lot of lumpiness. These are, again, the revenues are tied to major program deliveries and so on. So we do have a fair amount of lumpiness in our, especially in our BTS business. On the EMS side of the business, it's a little bit more stable. But here again, you know, there are certain programs and customers where you will see a spike of deliveries in a specific quarter. But more or less, as a trend, I would look at this as a lot more stable as compared to our BTS business, which tends to be a lot more lumpy in nature.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. We will take the next question from the line of Shahi Vijay from Capstock and Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. My question is regarding the subsidiary, just a follow-up. So for the Canada subsidiary that we wrote of around 50 crores, which was for the am I audible?
Yeah, go ahead.
So for the Canada subsidiary, 50 crores that we wrote off for the receivables, can we expect a similar write-off for the French subsidiary as well? Because I understand that the 150 crores is investment in there. Yes, sir.
Sorry to interrupt. You were asking if there is anything similar expected relating to French in 50 crores? Okay. So, no, as far as the French subsidiaries are concerned in standalone, there is nothing that we expect to come and impact in Q4 or in the future. Whatever the investment impairment that has been taken, and there is no account receivable that is doubtful or anything, because there have been some steady payments also coming in.
All right. And sir, so regarding the 50 crore Canada subsidiary write-off, can we expect some recoverable amount in the future?
So that's a good question. So when the accounts are finalized and audited, we took a clear assessment of what is outstanding and how much is receivable, recoverable. So to tell you what we wrote off or provided for is after considering the values that we received in this quarter, about $500K or about $500 crores has been received. And towards the end, when the entities get eventually wound up, any subsequent cash collections from customers that we carry may also come back to India after everything gets settled and the court order gets received. So if at all, there has to be very minimal but not a major recovery that we can expect.
Got it. Thank you, sir. And all the best.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. We will take the next question from the line of Karan Sanwal from Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So just wanted to understand what product are we doing for the semiconductor business currently?
Yeah, these are our customer is one of the leading suppliers of the capital equipment used in the semiconductor manufacturing process itself. And what we supply to them essentially are box builds and PCBAs. These are build-to-print, services where it's the customer's design, and we are a contract manufacturer for them. So this sits in our EMS part of the business. And as I mentioned, we supply either box builds or PCBAs to them.
Majorly, it would be a part of the EMS business, right? The entire
Yes, it's all part of the EMS business, yes.
And just to confirm, previously you mentioned it is a $10 million opportunity for FY 2026, and it would be $30 million for the next 2 years, right?
No, yeah. Yes, $10 million for FY 2026 is correct, and we expect it to get to an annual run rate of about $30 million in 2 years.
Understood. One last question. Are we expecting any other semiconductor client or coming up in a big way apart from what we have already received? Because there are also talks in the industry that another big semiconductor equipment player is targeting India for setting up bases. So are we in advanced talks or any intimation from the client to explore products with them?
We are exploring. I can't say anything that I can disclose at a very advanced stage to be disclosed at the current stage. But we are very well-aligned in terms of our capabilities and processes for this type of business. So as and when opportunities come up, I'm fairly confident we would be well-considered for this.
Understood. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next follow-up question from the line of Saumil Jain from Lucky Investments. Please go ahead.
My questions have been answered. Thank you.
Thank you. We will take the next question from the line of Anant Shenoy from AS Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, my question is on the semiconductor side. Since many of the companies in the semiconductor who are working on the capital equipment side, it's a high-margin segment for us. And since we are reporting it in the EMS side, what kind of margins are they similar to the EMS margin of 10%, 12%, or do we expect higher margin on semiconductor side?
No, the business model is what drives the margins here. So we do expect, I mean, you may have a very minor variation, but a rough mean of about 10% EBITDA is what we feel is a sustainable long-term margin for any EMS business in this type of industries, whether it is defense aerospace, whether it's semiconductors or industrials and so on. Of course, as you go into consumer and so on, those drop. But we have done various global benchmarking and all of that, and the EMS business in these type of sectors are typically around the 10%, 11% EBITDA levels.
Sure. Thank you. My next question is about the.
As I mentioned, sorry. Yeah. No, I was just mentioning again that it's important to keep in mind these are all cost-plus models because the customer designs the product and we are manufacturing for them. So we obviously look at various ways to improve productivity and reduce costs and so on. But with EMS business, it's typically around 10%-11% is what is to be expected.
Sure. My next question is about the Virupaksha. We were supposed to get the order. Did we already win the order? And for the tile config, excited receiver part, have you won the order for?
Yes, we won the order, and the programs are in execution. So
Okay. Like, what is the quantum? Can you throw some light? What kind of?
These are development orders at this stage. So they're, still at the smaller stage. Obviously, when these come into production, they will be much larger programs, going into hundreds of crores of possibilities. But at this stage, these are development orders, so they're smaller orders.
Thank you. We will take the next follow-up question from the line of Rupesh Tatiya from Long Equity Partners. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello sir, thank you. Thank you for the follow-up. But this Virupaksha order, I have a follow-up on that. So will we get major share? Are there like more competitors in this space? Can you give some idea? And there are 250 SU-30 Mark 1s, right, that will come for upgrade 25-30 per year. So what kind of market share we expect in this product?
Yeah, it's a bit early at this stage to be to give a very confident, clear answer with regard to market share and so on. There's still various things that will play out as the development progresses. I think suffice to say that there are two other major players or competitors in this part of the program. We are building a very critical and important part of the entire radar system itself. So.
Okay. And so then, other than I mean, some of these programs we talked about in SBS, in tank electronics, in Virupaksha, any other major programs that we are looking to win market share? Anything above, let's say, 300 crore kind of size? Anything bigger than that? Maybe you can give some idea around that.
It's a bit early for me to disclose those at this stage. There are clearly multiple irons in the fire that we are working on. I would say broadly in the areas again of electronic warfare systems, that's a big focus area for us. I'm not able to divulge at this stage the programs specifically, but we have a pretty healthy pipeline of opportunities coming up there as well.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for answering my questions.
Thank you.
We will take the next question from the line of Pranay Bastawala, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Congratulations, Nikhil. I think so. After a very long time, some very decisive decision, tough decision has been taken, and I'm sure that this will go a long way in creating clearing a path for this organization. So my questions are basically how you place your this company from where you want to take it. Say maybe it may be around 900 to 1000 crore turnover, say individual level. From this level, where we are looking at in next 3 years, and how you want to concentrate on the EMS business itself, which is going to be quite bigger on the coming time when we are seeing global opportunities, and especially even in the defense when the others are expanding. We look at it that how we can move to tier one level in this particular space, when especially Centum is very good in as far as space sector. Please, thank you.
Thank you, Pranav, and you've been a long term investor and a guide for us in the over the years. So. Some of these, difficult decisions, as you rightly mentioned, are also things that we take as a result of the strong and clear inputs from investors like yourself. So appreciate the vote of confidence on this decision. With regard to our path forward, here we have obviously very aggressive growth plans. I think, you know, starting first on the defense side of the business, we have strong objectives of growing this multifold in the coming years. I won't specify exactly a number in terms of guidance or anything like that, but you know, we will grow this substantially. As you already see, you know, we expect to close this year's order book already at a very healthy rate based on what we are seeing from Q4 also. And the pipeline of orders and opportunities that we are driving internally is quite aggressive. So we do expect to see a multifold increase of our defense and space business. And big part of this is also driven by our objective to position at system level. And as I mentioned already on the call today, two of the first major validations of this strategy have come in the form of this navigation system and the full radar system, which we are expecting the order for in the current quarter. So we are well on our way on that side. Secondly, on the EMS side of the business, again, we, on one side have been focused on the product segments that we've been addressing, you know, in terms of, apart from, of course, defense aerospace, but also industrial, medical, and mobility. We I would say that the vision for this part of the business going forward also is quite positive. We want to ensure we have high quality customers. You know, this is a business that, you know, it's very easy to take business at a low margin and scale, but we want to ensure we take high quality customers and ensure that our execution of these type of programs are done well. A lot of investment and effort is going into our own internal processes and systems in terms of implementing automation, AI kind of solutions in critical core areas. That also, I think, will be a key point of differentiation as this business evolves. Pipeline is healthy. I think we talked also on a few of these areas throughout the call today. Our defense and aerospace global customers itself are seeing increased demand volume, so we will continue to work on that. We have certain strategic opportunities there. We also on some of the newer areas, whether it's industrial or the semiconductor kind of equipment, are all also progressing well. And even in terms of new customer additions and so on, we have a very clear plan and strategy that of identifying key target accounts and having a sales team and sales force that's driving to capture that business. So these are some of the actions that are ongoing. And as I say, we want to scale up this business in an aggressive way, and working the granular details to make sure that it's executed well.
Yeah, that would be my second last question. That basically, EMS is a business which will grow at 10, which has an ROI of 10 to 12%, and it's a different kind of a business. But when we are looking at defense and aerospace sector, many of them command an EBITDA of 35 to 40%. So what we are planning to move to that kind of an EBITDA level, or are we even planning for tier one supplier in coming 3 to 5 years with some JVs?
Yeah, we are pursuing, you know, it is not one at the expense of the other, I would say, Pranav. Basically, while on the EMS side of the business, one of the things that is important to highlight is that while the EBITDA margins are in the range of 10-11%, the ROCE for this business can be north of 20-25% because capital requirement is much lower as compared to the defense and space products business. So this will continue to be an important part of our overall portfolio, and we'll continue to develop that part of the business. But clearly, in terms of significant new investments on the defense and aerospace product side to position ourselves as a tier one, either through our own internal R&D development, but also through the strategic partnerships with the global players, are something that we are clearly pursuing. We have the ability to increase the EBITDA margins to the levels that you just mentioned will come largely if they are indigenous designed products. And this is where, you know, our focus of developing and strengthening more and more on the internal R&D capabilities is a key part of our strategy. But in parallel, we also pursue the partnerships with global players to capture opportunities that are there more imminently. And I think this example of the GRSE partnership is one wherein we actually have technology coming from a European partner, and was something that enabled us to quickly access and capture the market for this. So we follow multi-pronged strategy to be able to win business and also grow our margins.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, we will take that as the last question for today. And with that concludes the question and answer session. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Krishna Doshi for closing comments. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you so much. On behalf of Ashika Institutional Equities, we would like to thank the management of Centrum Electronics Limited for the call, and many thanks to the participants for joining the call. Thank you very much, sir. We may now conclude the call.
Thank you, everyone. On behalf of Centrum Electronics Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.